time.
So, as you can obviously see, the title of this message is Why Not? Why Not? So, let's why not get started with the prayer that we've been praying all summer long. Heck, we started it in January. And it's WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? As I always say, I'm not always sure about what he would do. I know sometimes I do things that I think that's the way he wants me to go, but it's not exactly right. So I've been praying this prayer, and I know there's been several folks out here that's been praying it with me. And like Sean, he told me just the other day, he goes, I wake up every morning with this prayer, and it's helped me. It's helped me figure out what I'm supposed to do throughout the day, and he prepares me. So pray it with me. Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, bless my neighbor as you bless me. Amen. And as I said, the title of this message is Why Not? And I came to that because I started thinking about early in my recovery, the rooms of recovery that I grew up in, and Logan and a friend of mine went to a meeting earlier this week, and he talked to me about, you know, I got called down in there because I was talking too much about God. They wanted to remind me that this is not a religious thing. And I said, well, did you talk about Jesus? He says, no. I said, well, there's God all over the room, you know. So I didn't understand that, but early in my recovery, I was sitting there, and I had gotten this relationship with God, and I was sitting in a meeting, and it was like in the first several weeks, and I said something about Jesus and the Bible and going to church and this and that, and a guy pulled me aside after the meeting and said, listen, man, if you're going to say the name Jesus in these groups, you're gonna have to be thick-skinned. You're going to have to really get a thick skin because they're going to tell you you can't do that here. And I didn't understand it. And I was like, why not? I mean, we're all looking for God, but you don't. Why not Jesus? That's the answer. But I do understand it now. Back then, I didn't understand why we couldn't say Jesus and talk about the scriptures and stuff in these other fellowships. Thank God for overcomers. We can do all that there. We can stop the meeting and pray in overcomers. Jesus Christ is our higher power, and we know it in overcomers. So why not in the other groups? Well, the reason is because they want it to be open to everyone. And there may be a Muslim who is a raging alcoholic, and if we say that Jesus Christ has to be your higher power, he won't make it. He can't come in here and follow that. And so the hope is that he comes in and finds out that there's a real God and his name is Jesus Christ. But it has to be open to everyone. I understand that now. So there was my why not. My why not was answered. But throughout the years, I've been asked this question. Why do I have to believe in Jesus? Why do I have to believe in Jesus? And I think that might be your first fill in the blank. Why not believe in Jesus? Why not believe in Jesus? What do you have to lose? So I was in a discussion here just not too long ago, and this particular person was like, I don't even know about God, you know, much less Jesus. And I said, well, what about this? Do you believe in the Bible? Maybe. So what you have to figure out in your mind, and you have to understand, either Jesus is the greatest liar, he's the greatest liar that ever lived, or he's not lying. One of the two things. He's tricked people for over 2,000 years with a crazy lie. Or it's true. And then if you think that that's a lie, then you think everyone else in the Bible that talks about him is liars too. So the entire Bible's a lie. One of the two. Either it's the whole thing, either this whole thing is a lie and not true, and everyone in it is lying, or it's true. So, what do you got to lose? Here's the deal, and this is what I told them. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God, and I believe everything in that book is true. What if I'm wrong? What if it is a lie? What if it's not true? What if Jesus was a liar? What did I lose? In the end, I'm just dirt. It meant nothing, but I lived a great life. Now, if that happens, if I'm wrong, this was all a lie. But what if I'm right? What if I'm right and you didn't believe? What do you got to lose then? Everything, even on earth, right here. The blessings that we get every single day because we believe in Jesus and the things he did for us. You're missing out on those. You're missing out on the daily blessings because you just can't get around to believing in this Jesus thing. You have to make a decision. Is he a liar or is he not? John 14:6, Jesus said this, I am the truth and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. And I believe I've told this story before, and so here's another deal. You gotta say, is Jesus a liar or is he telling the truth? If everything in this Bible is the truth, then that must be true, and there's no way that I can get to God. There's no way that I can get past God to let's say, the pearly gates. We say it in our own mind, how we think, like once we get to heaven, there's going to be I'm going to be standing in front of a big podium, and there's going to be a big judge in front of me. I picture a courtroom. I've been there. I've been in courtrooms, and that's the way, I picture it. I picture it. When I leave here, I'm going to be standing in a courtroom. There's going to be a judge, and there's going to be someone else with me. And I talked to a guy one time over at Metro Relief. We had a meeting afterwards, and he come up and he said, hey, listen, I get God. I've been around in these recovery meetings, and I get God. I'm cool with that. I know that there's a higher power. His name is God and everything, but why do I got to go through this Jesus thing? And I went straight to the court. I said, I know you. I know you a little bit. I know your character. How about that? I know your character. I'm sure you've been in court. You've been in front of a judge, and I asked him, did you go with a lawyer? And he said, well, sometimes. I said, what about the times you didn't go with an attorney? How'd it work out for you? Boom. He said, it didn't work out. I said, if you went with the attorney, the times you went with the attorney, he goes, yeah, it worked out a little bit more in my favor. I said, this is what Jesus is for us. Because you said you believe in God. You believe that there's going to be a time, there's a judgment day. Yes. So you're going to be standing in front of a judge. You've been there before, but this is the Almighty Judge. You need an attorney, right? He goes, yeah. I said, well, guess what? It just so happens to be that your attorney happens to be the judge's son. What do you think your chances are? He goes, hey, that might be something I can get behind. Okay. And it changed everything for him. But then I've heard this before. You know, I understand all that. And I've been in this place. I've been in this place right here. There's so many rules. There's so many rules. There's so many things I've got to do to follow Jesus. There's all these things that I can't stay on that freaking tightrope that he wants me to stay on. I might as well just forget about it. There's too many rules. And Jesus made it very clear. There's only two. There's only two rules. There's only two rules. Look at Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said, and remember, we understand he's not a liar anymore, right? Jesus said, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, all your mind. And this is the first, the most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law, and I wrote under here when I wrote out, rules. All the law, rules, and the writings of the prophets depend on these two things. Love the Lord and love other people. It's that simple. So if we had a little trouble believing in Jesus, and we're making like, okay, well, really, obviously, he can't be that good of a liar. Who's that good of a liar for 2,000 years? People believe in this guy. But surely there's a buttload of rules. Surely there's so many rules I can't stay on track. There's two. Love Jesus with all you got. Love God with everything you got. And love other people. Love everyone? Why not? Why not love everyone? And I wrote on the side here, I know what love is. I thought of Forrest Gump, him sitting on the bench, and Jenny, I know what love is. And if you go back and watch that movie, what Forrest was talking about was having patience. He was talking about being kind. He was talking about not being jealous, not bragging about things. He's not being proud and not being rude and not being selfish and not getting upset with others and not counting up other wrongs people have done to you. Love accepts all things, always trusts, always hopes, and always remains strong. I know what love is. But everyone? I got to do all that stuff with everyone? Two rules. Oh, yeah, it's easy. I can say I love Jesus and everything, but what about the person that's hurt you? What are the person that's done you wrong? Luke 6:27. This is Jesus talking again. Remember, we believe he's not a liar now. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. What? Okay, it gets better. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who are cruel to you. I don't want any part of that. If anyone slaps you on one cheek, offer him the other. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now we're getting personal here. The dude is in my personal space, or woman, in my personal space and slapping me, and I'm supposed to let him slap the other side. If someone takes your coat, do not stop him from taking your shirt. Pause. Yeah. Wait a minute. There's one rule. There's no rules. You've seen the CC's commercial? The dude strips off his shirt and they say, there's one rule. Keep your shirt on. Give to everyone who asks you for it. When someone takes something that is yours, don't ask for it back. If someone takes my stuff, just let them have it. Do to others what you'd have them do to you. Well, I want to treat people nice, so I want someone to treat me nice. If you love only people who love you, wait a minute. Okay, now we're getting back to answering our question. If you love only the people who love you, what praise should you get? Even sinners love people who love them. Okay, now you're hitting home. Even sinners love people who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, what praise should you get? Even sinners do that. If you lend things to people, always hoping to get something back, what praise should you get? Even sinners lend to other sinners so that they can get back the same amount. You ever said to anybody, you owe me? Oh, you owe me. Think about all I've done for you. You owe me. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without hoping to get anything back. Man, I hear a lot of that in my recovery. Expect nothing in return. I've heard that a lot in meetings. Here's the part I would like for you to underline. I've gotten to a rhythm of going through Scripture, and when I find these two words together, I underline them, I highlight them. Then you will have a great reward. Oh, okay, I can get behind some of that. I'm going to receive some blessings, man. I need those blessings. And if you will, you will be children of the Most High God. My chances of looking real good now. Because he is kind even to people who are ungrateful and full of sin. That's me. Ungrateful and full of sin. Show mercy just as your Father shows mercy. Oh, but I'm going to receive mercy. A great reward. Blessings. Great rewards for doing good. Those things come in so, they look all different ways. Blessings come in so many different ways. Just because you're loving other people. So how do we get to a point where we can love someone who has done all those things to us? What does that look like? Loving someone who has done all those things to us. Well, I think we just read it. It's not getting back at them. I have a saying, because there's been people in my life that hard to love. They've done me great harm. I won't go have lunch with them. But if they're really hungry, I'll buy them something to eat. I'm not going to invite them over for dinner, but I will go get them a hamburger. I'm not going to let you go hungry. I will help you. I'll serve you in some way. So how do we get there? Why not pray? We got to pray. In our literature in the Alcoholics Anonymous book on page 67, it says, we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. We pray for him. That's how we get there. I've heard so many stories, countless stories, about people in recovery who have had this resentment, this thing that someone has done to them, and they've spent time and prayer over them, wishing good for them, wishing great things for them, the things they would want for themselves. And after a period of time, they're able to let go of that resentment. It's not so much a pain anymore because we prayed. We call this, I believe we call this the sick man's prayer in our recovery groups. It's on page 67. I've heard this before. I'm just not feeling connected to Jesus. I'm just not feeling connected to God and Jesus. We're not gelling. Why not pray? How can you have a relationship with someone if you're not talking to them? It's tough to have a relationship with anyone if you don't communicate. There's people out there that I have no relationship with, and that is because I do not have any communication with them. I can look around this room, and almost every person in this room, I have you in my phone. I have your name or your phone number, your name and your phone number in my phone. And at some point, we communicate via text. I may call you. I'm guarantee every single one of you are on a Facebook page. If you got Facebook, we look at each other's stuff through Facebook. The people in this room I have relationship with. It's because we communicate. We talk to one another. And some of it may be just every once in a while, but we still have a relationship. If you're not talking to Jesus at all, you've got no relationship. I'm just here to tell you. I can't have a relationship with someone I do not talk to. It's very important. Amen. So, I used Google this week to write this.
No.
Really? So, listen, I don't know how these guys before the internet did it. I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't have a library. I remember going into John's office before, and there was books, and that's just, I would have had a cornea just because I had to read so many books. Google is your friend. Travis has got some things that he's going to pass out here. I Googled prayer and 12-step recovery, and I started trying to see what I could come up with here. What has Google got to say about it? And what they're passing out, we're going to start putting this in the newcomers kits, the newcomer baskets, the envelopes when people come in at Overcomers. And it's a 12-step prayer for each step. And listen, I've been reading 10, 11, and 12 every day this week. And you can take this home and you can put it on your mirror, put it on your nightstand, reach over and read it, because here's the deal. Throughout my day, man, sometimes I have to start on step one. I have to remember I am powerless, and I can read that prayer. I thought once I saw this, and then Linda put some extra stuff in it. She does her thing to it. You know, you send her something and she goes, "How about this?" I'm going, "That's what I was looking for." So she did her deal to it and made it look real pretty and added some other stuff out of the Alcoholics Anonymous book, the big book. And so I saw this when she gave it back to me, and I said, my goodness, I wish I would have gotten this the first week of recovery when I first came in the door, because I kept a little envelope, and I got my newcomers, like a manila envelope that you'd get from the post office. I took my envelope from AA with everybody's phone numbers on it, stuck it in there, and then I had some different pamphlets from AA I stuck in there. I had
attendance sheet.
Yeah. No, I didn't have to do that. You did, Matthew. I had the directory from the church that I started going to. You know, that church that I didn't want to have any part of. I got a directory because I started meeting the people in there, and I wanted a relationship with those folks. So I had the directory. I had people's phone numbers. I stuck it all in there. Man, I was reading this. I was like, this would have been so helpful in those early days. So this is something that'll fit right in your AA book, right in your Bible. And if you're working with a sponsee or something like that, you can have them, hey, man, here's where I want you to start. I want you to start on step one, the first step. Dear Lord, I admit that I am powerless over my addictions, that I admit that my life is unmanageable when I try to control it. Help me this day to understand the true meaning of powerlessness. Remove from me all denial of my addiction. I've been doing 10, 11, and 12 every day this week. 12-step prayer. Dear God, my spiritual awakening continues to unfold. The help I have received, I shall pass on and give to others, both in and out of the fellowship. For this opportunity, I am grateful. I pray most humbly to continue walking day by day on the road of spiritual progress. I pray for the inner strength and wisdom to practice the principles of this way of life in all I do and say. I need you, my friends, and the program every hour of every day. This is a better way to live. Amen. See if this doesn't help you. Try it for a week. Read that 10, 11 and 12-step prayer if that's where you are in your recovery and you've worked through the steps and maybe that's where you're at. But if you're early in recovery, start the step at your own. Start the step at your own and try reading that every week, every day for a week. It's made a difference for me. It really has. So, if we're believing in Jesus, we're loving like Jesus, we're praying to Jesus, communicating, why not serve? Why not serve like Jesus? I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. Amen. The peace. We're not talking about material stuff. We're talking about peace and joy and serenity and happiness and the blessings that comes with it. My mom and dad, they have a nonprofit ministry called the Bread Connection. They work harder now than before they retired, you know. And they're getting on. Heck, they're over 73 years old, John. But they do. They work hard at it, man. And what the Bread Connection is, it's a hub to distribute larger amounts of food. It's not a food pantry. Places like HEB and Walmart, they get an abundance. They have an 18-wheeler that is loaded full of XYZ, you name it. And Walmart has only room for so much. Well, then the truck can't leave if it still has another pallet of groceries. So they'll call the Bread Connection and they'll come pick up the entire pallet. And they're connected with several places like that where they receive large pallets of food. And then what they do is they break that pallet down and they'll send some to the crisis center. They'll send some to the homeless shelter there in town. They'll send some to a place in Fort Worth. They even send some to us. If you've been coming to our Wednesday night speaker meeting night, and we've had tacos and fajitas, and I mean, we've had all kinds of stuff. I went down to the Bread Connection a while back, and with three ice chests, large ice chests, and Ken had to go buy a deep freeze to put it all in. So we're receiving that, and they also gives us a lot of stuff to take to South Dallas for that ministry too. So they're a distributor, right? So they're busy all the time. Here a couple of weeks ago, the farm caught on fire. Y'all remember that? I mean, it was crazy. They had planes flying over, dumping. It burned a couple hundred acres. It was really cool that it burned everything except for the barns, the houses, the cattle. None of that got touched. None of it got touched. It's crazy. I mean, there's my uncle's land got cleared for free, you know. But the second, they got it all put out not shortly after it burned a lot. So they worked the fire all day long. We went to bed, and the next day, I guess it was probably next morning, 10 o'clock or whatever, my brother is calling me, and he's back out there, and he puts me on FaceTime. He goes, look, it's fired back up, man. It's fired back up, and it's headed towards, it went around my uncle's house, and it's headed towards old Miss Coon's house. And dude, it's about to go up in flames. And so he's filming, you know, the planes coming over and dumping big deals of water. I mean, it's fired back up and it's going again. I'm like, well, where's mom? I don't know, give her a call. She ain't out here. I called her and I said, mom, where you at? Well, I'm over at HEB. I said, do you know the farm's back on fire again? Oh, yeah. Yeah, God's already protected us from that. We're not, you know. I'm not worrying about that. I'm like, no. The planes are back out there. The fire trucks are back out there. Keith is out there, and he said that the thing is back on fire again. He goes, she says, I know. God's already saved my house, and I need to help get this food to where it needs to go. What? That's being taken care of by Jesus. God's got it. I can't do anything else about it. God's already saved my house, and I need to get this food to where it needs to go. What? Amazing. Serve like Jesus. I've heard this before. Once I get my life on track, I'll be able to serve. Once I get my life on track, once things are going my way, I'll be able to serve. I want you to go home and read John 13, 1 through 17. And this is the Last Supper. Jesus was about to be arrested and put to death. How on track is that? He's about to be arrested and killed. His life was about to get really crazy. It already was. He knew it was happening. He knew it was coming. What'd he do? Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet that night. Amen. Why'd he do that? Why not? I asked the question why, and I Googled it. I said, why? What's the normal answer? What's the answer that every pastor will give? Why? It was a display of humanity and servanthood, a time of teaching us our role in the body of Christ. Amen. Yeah, I get it. Sure. This man was about to be killed. He was about to go to be tortured. He was about to... Life was getting crazy. His life was fixing to be really chaotic. So to take his mind off what was about to happen, to put himself back here on a burner, all this that is about to happen to me, let's forget about that and serve these people. Amen. It's really hard to worry about your troubles, to worry about the things that are coming up and worry about things that are going to happen when you're helping someone else. Their troubles, their problems, the things that are going on in their life come first at that point. You're there to help them. I've got to get this food to the people. I've got to get this food to where it's supposed to be. But your house is burning down. It possibly could burn down. No, God's got that. Amen. The farm's back on fire. There's planes flying over, Mom. I got to get this food to where it's supposed to go. Serve like Jesus. For that moment, for just in that moment, Jesus was thinking about his friends. He was thinking about his friends and the things that they were going to have to go through after he was gone. And he was serving them and washing their feet. So let's recap. Jonah, if you want to come back up. Why not believe? You got nothing to lose. Why not? Why not love like Jesus? There's a lot of great rewards behind it. Why not pray like Jesus? Why not pray to Jesus? You need a relationship. There's no other way to have one. Why not serve like Jesus? It takes our minds off ourselves and any kind of troubles we may be dealing with. Why not? Aren't we always looking for the easier, softer way? Yeah. I just lined it out for you. Why not? If If you're here tonight and you've been thinking about Jesus and why do I have to follow him, or you may have been, maybe you've been a Christian a while, or thinking you have been a Christian in a while, but you don't really have that relationship and you'd like to get back on track, John and Matthew will be standing in the back, and come talk to these guys. Maybe you just need them to pray for you. If you haven't made that decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of Jesus and fully commit to believing that he is the one, the only Savior that can make life better for you. And you just kind of heard tonight that there's only two rules. Love him and love everyone else. And you want to figure out more about that. These guys in the back. But you can do all of that sitting right there in your seat. You bow your head and you say, Jesus, I give you my heart, my mind, my soul. I'm yours. It's that simple. For years growing up in the church, man, I thought, man, if I'm going to have Jesus in my life and I want to be saved, I need to come down and the old deacon elder is going to sit down here beside me. He's going to tell me all your sins and I need to write these down and I'm going to confess them to the church and then I'm going to have you come up and I'm going to have to dunk you under the water before you're saved and all that. Sit right there in your chair, bow your head and say, Jesus, come into my life. Make you my Lord and Savior. Come on. And mean it. That's it. All this other stuff you can do afterwards. You can talk with other people and find some wise counsel. Find some people that you do a Bible study with and figure out more about what this is about. But the first step is admitting that you need Jesus. Amen. That's the first step. As I said, it's the easier, softer way. Y'all pray with me. Yes, pray for me. Pray with me. I'm going to change it up just a little bit. Jesus, show me how to love.
Jesus, show me how to love.
Jesus, prepare me to serve.
Jesus, prepare me to serve.
Jesus, help me love my neighbor as you love me.
Jesus, help me love my neighbor as you love me.
Amen.